It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you are in the loop right here on a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, Byron Matthews hanging out in for our guy Figgy Fig on a day where we're looking forward towards the Texans-Colts game. I know the morning show, they found the positivity in all of this, and we just came in and brought a whole bunch of negativity back to it, right? I almost want to make this shift our segment and just be like, can we find more of the positivity in this particular game going forward?
Well, maybe not this segment, but
why not?
But let's say this. We all agree the Texans will win on Sunday.
I feel that way, absolutely.
I feel that
way. Byron, do you also feel that way?
Of course.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
So there's your positivity.
I don't like losing to Indianapolis. I know a Colts fan that talks very highly of AR5, and I just like, dude, don't do it to yourself.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
So there's your positivity.
Okay.
Texans will win. They will beat the Colts on Sunday.
Excellent.
That said.
Yeah.
That said.
All right. Let me at least get you some of the notes from practice as the guys practice on the field at NRG today, getting ready for that game that'll be at NRG against the Colts on Sunday. Aziz Alshayer still not practicing, so he's just complete no-go.
Yeah.
But Kamari Lassiter did practice, third practice in a row, so he should be good to play. Your cornerback depth stretches just a little bit again, but hopefully Jeff Okuda is making progress injury wise. But yeah, at least you have the two guys in theory that you feel the best about at your corner spots. They're gonna go right back into that distance or that deep passing
goal. Well, they're gonna do that. They're definitely gonna try it.
With the Colts. Henry Toto also practiced again after missing practice yesterday. An interesting week for him. Practiced on Wednesday. Did not practice on Thursday, practiced again on Friday. So we'll see how available he is and if he plays. Hopefully, you imagine he will. No Jimmy Ward, so Eric Murray and Kalen Bullock are still the guys to look at safety-wise in this game. And there you go. Like that's what you're looking at for your Texans team when it comes to availability. And D'Angelo Ross also practiced after being sidelined with an illness yesterday. That's obviously not as big of a deal necessarily, but... good to know. So there you go. Those are the guys that are practicing. Those are the guys that feel better. But speaking of feeling better, how do you feel about this offense going into this game with all of the things that we're considering with Bobby Slowick? We talked about it to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Slowick came out with a pretty strong mea culpa.
He didn't.
Yeah. I think that it existed within the mea culpa. He's like, hey, man, I have to own up to my culpability in these things. Bad play call on 3rd and 15. Probably can do better in getting the message across. However,
yeah,
also in line with not getting the job done has been that the offensive line simply is not communicating well, it seems like, or they're not doing the things that they clearly know to do that have been put in front of them since training camp and that they've worked on, whether it's, you know, in loud environments, which he says they've worked on for a few weeks, right? Or whether it's, you know, dealing with certain stunts and those types of things, what it feels like they've worked on. The offensive line still has its responsibility. Within all of that, do you have a level of confidence in this offense in general and the overarching look at this offense?
In general, absolutely. In general, I've been one of Bobby Slowick's biggest fans, and that's from even before he was hired. In general, they're going to be able to do a lot of things, you know, presuming the offensive line gets these things corrected. But when Bobby Slowick was talking, not just this week, not just yesterday, you know, when he was talking about the false starts, back a few weeks ago, lining up incorrectly a few weeks ago, he did say that's something that we have to do, but it is something we've worked on. And then yesterday, he's talking about getting in and out of the huddle on time. It's something that we've been working on, but they're not doing it. And then recognizing looks. Hey, D'Amico has showed us these same looks since training camp. So it's something that we've worked on, but we're not doing. That's why I'm saying it's like he's falling on the sword and then making sure everybody gets grazed a little bit as well. And so what bothers me about that, and again, I like Bobby Slowick. I got confidence in him. I certainly feel like he can call a hell of a game sometimes. But these things, getting in and out of the huddle, lining up right, false starts, knowing what a defense is showing you, these are fundamentals. And oftentimes people use that word casually, but these are things that should have been done already, that should have been almost second nature, or should have been second nature already. And so these are all things that should have been perfected in your training camp, and you're still talking about, hey, we got to work on getting into the huddle. We got to work on lining up right. We got to work on taking advantage of these schemes, which we've already seen. That bothers me a little bit, because that's coaching. That's coaching.
Yeah, but I mean, look, man, there's coaching and there's being coachable.
That's a fair point.
Right, like there's coaching, but
is it the player?
I think that some of what he was saying was a defense of the coaching, and in some ways it highlighted the possibility that there's not enough coachability within this offensive line group of getting that message and taking it and taking what has been shown to them from the defense that they've practiced against, right? The defense that you imagine would give them a lot of issues, and hey man, you have to learn how to hold up against pass rush. This team creates the most, is one of the top pressure creators in the league, this defensive line, right? You would imagine after going up against them time and time again during camp, although there's some people on this line that didn't play during camp, right? that you would get some level of understanding of how to handle, you know, stunts and all these types of things, but it feels like you did not, right? So as coachability comes in with some of this. And then I want to circle back around to Bobby Slowik himself, right? Because I know that he did a little bit of falling on his sword, as you termed it. But that is cool. What is being done to make it better? And so there was a couple questions asked of him that I thought was really interesting in this perspective. And this will be Slowik 2 here. Both of these kind of adjustment related in some ways. He was asked, was the focus last week to do more with quick developing plays going in, or was that just a change in the game?
When your quarterback starts to get hit, that's what you're going to do, yeah. So we stopped doing some of this. I mean, we hit Dalton on a 7-step early in the game on an explosive, and then I think CJ got smacked like 3 times in a row. And then if you still want to have a pass game, you got to find a way to still move forward and not backward. And, you know, that's a strain to do that.
So that's speaking about, you know, maybe the lack of like some of the big deep shots or deep drops that would lead to deep shots and the change in that game.
Because he's getting crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the capability of doing that? Because it did not feel like they were particularly effective even in trying to look at some of the more shorter.
But you know what? As I'm listening to you, and you're absolutely right, you know, is it, you know, I said that's coaching, you know, the fundamentals, the stuff that you should have learned in training camp. And then you brought up coachability. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And that's what, you know, we're talking about, and they have to figure out. Is it the players not getting the message, not somehow implementing the message, even if they're getting it? Or is it the messenger? That's what we're talking about here. And that's why when D'Amico Ryan said everything's on the table, I didn't rule out, you know, maybe changing the approach from a coaching perspective, not firing anybody, but you know what I mean? Just sort of trying to mix things up. And if it's the same starting offensive line out there and the same things crop up, that's a bad look on both ends.
A text from the 936, I don't agree with the coachable point. You don't make it to the NFL if you're not coachable. I don't think that's inherently true.
Right.
Obviously, I understand what you're saying, right? Like, by and large, you would imagine that people are fairly coachable if they make it to the NFL. But there's some dudes with outsized talent that are going to make it to the NFL. And I don't think you can disagree that you have guys on this offensive line that have a lot of talent. And again, there's varying degrees of coachable. I don't know that that's a pass-fail metric as opposed to like a spectrum of sorts. And right now, I don't know that you are hitting the right spectrum of coachability, at least in what if you are to take Bobby Slowik at his word, which I don't know that I'm seeing a guy who is lying or stretching the truth in these answers that we're hearing.
No, he's being very candid, and I appreciate that. But it also just makes us wonder even more, like, all right, you're coaching them. You've seen it all since training camp. It's not resonating. And you're going to run the same guys out there? Look, I'm not trying to say, like, change the offensive line. But something's got to be done here. If we see that again at home against the Colts team that you should beat, as we talked about to start this segment, it's, you know, Texter says, has Bobby Slowik's stock as a head coach dropped drastically? in the past few games.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know about drastically. There are certain, you know, things.
I think drastically, but I think it's for a particular reason.
And that is?
Amongst us locally, those of us that watch this Texans team consistently, I don't think so, because I think that the questions were there in some ways. Like, all right, Bobby, what you got for us?
Yeah.
I think as a from a national perspective, which I think matters when you're talking about various other teams possibly coming in and trying to hire him.
Yeah.
I don't know how quickly it got to a point where people were like, huh, is Bobby Slowick, what's he doing down there, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that you were getting wins, as I think you know, like the Texans were, you know, stacking the wins and being moving up people's power rankings as a team that was a Super Bowl contender and all those things.
CJ has made plays, which always points back to
right.
him.
But then once you get like a big, really well-focused on around the league game like that, especially when you have issues like you did in this Packers game, I think that there are some people around the league nationally that were like, huh, wait, hold on. Why does it look like that?
Yeah.
And I think that might have taken – that might have kind of, you know, knocked his stock
a little bit. A little bit of the luster was off after that game. You know, it really comes down to – you know, where do you think, and this is just all opinion from the outside looking in, whether it's us or fans or whomever, do you think the offensive line, that it's an offensive line messaging problem or a Bobby Slowick messaging problem? Are they just not getting it? Are they just not doing it? Or is it Bobby Slowick just not delivering it right? I mean, that's what you have to decide. That's what you have to think.
And the thing that I think is tough about this, and maybe this is just a general situation, this is a philosophy I have with a lot of these things, rarely is it one or the other. It's some combination
sure.
of both. And I think that's been my big frustration with this offensive line all the way around, is it doesn't feel like it's one thing or the other. It feels like a whole bunch of things that have come together to a real nasty stew of not good enough play. Like, even game to game, the things that have been bad for this offensive line have been different. Pre-snap penalties, holds.
Yeah.
Inability to pick up free pass rushers, right? Like, it's just been different things of bad every time. And sometimes it's just been lapses here and there. I think it's what allows the likes of D'Amico Ryans and Nick Cassero to get out here and tell us that actually that was a better game because you have certain plays where they're making it happen and other plays where they're not. But that is not sufficient enough for an offensive line where, admittedly, an offensive line, you kind of need them to be on point all the time.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't, as D'Amico said, just a bad day, because as you just illustrated, it's different things. It's been different things. It all points back to the offensive line in some way or another. And you, like I said, you just have to realize, you have to decide, is that their problem or is that Bobby's problem?
Yeah, they playing bad play whack-a-mole.
Yeah, they
you know
are.
What I'm saying?
They are.
Like, one, all right, here comes pre-snap penalties. Well, we knock that down. Well,
yeah.
Here comes more holds, and we knock that down. And, oh, here is us just not picking up a stunt in the front, which, although that has happened a few times early in the season as well. Whatever it is, and I think this is where the tough part about it is, whichever part of it is, the buck does stop with Bobby.
Bobby Slowick could really use a big day from the offense, running and passing, and more than anything, blocking. If it doesn't, like, even if they win, I think Sean asked us this when we were doing the toss. Like, are we going to still, you know, be worried, complaining, whatever you want to call it, on Monday, even with a win? Yeah, that's on the table if they don't really show something. The style points all of a sudden are coming into play for Bobby. Much less the Texans.
And you know what's funny about this? I think there's still room to have the conversation even afterwards, because let me paint a picture for you here, Lopez. The offensive line comes out, and they are immaculate. They are flawless against the Colts.
They're plowing, protecting.
Your first question is...
On that?
Right, no. They do what they're supposed to do. Where does your brain go? After seeing the offensive line for the Texans, oh, wow. Boom, they did all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Your first thought is...
What? What do you think it is?
Well, I know for me, it's like, okay, so y'all had this in you.
Oh,
why couldn't y'all do this before?
Okay.
And then secondarily,
I wasn't quite sure where you were going with
right,
that.
Why couldn't you do this before? First of all, secondarily, I would probably ask how much of that is the opponent that you're facing off against. That's not
probably
that good.
More.
We're
gonna
have
like
things
it.
To talk
that's
about.
Probably
still, even if they get
like
right,
it, yeah.
But at the very least, let's do that. Let's do those conversations.
Yeah.
Then you're still not getting it right.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. See, you know what? Now I got a Bobby Slowick here. My bad. I did not ask the question in such a way where Lopez would get it.
It didn't resonate. It was.
Now, I mean, he probably should have understood it.
Trust me, it was me.
However,
it was on me.
I will take the responsibility.
It was on me.
As the man asking the question, mea culpa. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is time for our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Let me ask you something, Reggie.
Y'all?
I don't think I am, but let me ask you. I'm not an intimidating person, am I?
No.
Not at all?
Not to me, at least.
I mean, I just kind of just try to keep on keeping on and make everybody welcome, you know, have fun, be welcoming, friendly, all that stuff. So we were talking to Byron before the show, and he kind of made me feel like, am I doing something wrong? Explain the story, Byron Matthews. Young Byron, by the way, up and comer, you know, producing, and now he's in today for Figgy. I was like, well, damn, I didn't know I did that.
Okay, so when I was new, there was, I think I want to say earlier this year in January, that's when I started learning to drive. And so after In the Loop, John comes out and I said, hey, John, how's it going? He said, good. And so I was going to introduce myself, but I just froze after he said good because he was filling up his water bottle. So his back was turned to me. So I was like, okay, maybe just another time. And so I would say the time like we formally talked was
in the studio.
Yeah,
what I was
in March.
Talking.
Yeah. Yeah. When I started learning from Figgy about In the Loop around March, around opening day for the Astros, because my neighbor is a big fan of 610. So, like, for Texans games, he was always listening to 610 for Mark Vandermeer. But when I got, told him I got hired, he was like, oh, bro, you get to work with John Lopez. So when I had the opportunity to finally talk to him, I just froze after, like, he turned his back. He was just getting his water. Now, he wasn't being a jerk or anything. I just want to put that out there. But, yeah, I just froze, and I was like,
Come on, man.
Like, I texted him earlier, and I was like, hey, I told John Lopez about you. He's like, I hope you said good things, man. I said, yeah. I said, it's all good. He said, thank you for the support. He's like, do you ever have a day where you can bring a friend along? I was like, I don't know about all that, man.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, he's a big fan of yours.
But I was just like, damn.
It was scary.
I didn't mean to send off that vibe.
You were menacingly refilling your water.
I was get out of here, you peon.
Scram.
But when I walked off, I did not get that, like, I didn't think to myself, oh, yeah, I can't talk to him or he's a jerk. It was just like, you know, okay, maybe another time, you know.
All right. Well, you know better now.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I'm kind of considering watching Love is Blind.
All right.
No, it's not all right. I have, you know, everybody has group chats with various friends and such. And somehow a friend group that I had I would have never imagined would end up watching Love is Blind. They're watching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is, you know, homeboy Mize, his girlfriend watches it, so now he watches it. We know
that's
how
usually
happens,
the
right?
story.
Another one, homegirl of mine, that's her bag. All right, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the group chat has turned into Love is Blind updates. And I'm just in the back, like, watching these go back and forth.
And you want to participate.
And you get a text line, and you get a text, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? And, like, my general curiosity is taking me to a place where I'm like, I kind of want to find out. But everything within me says, no, you do not.
Yeah. I think you're in a good spot. By the way, when girlfriends are involved, you're going to watch that show, at least a couple of shows of hers.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, there's already so much. I'm trying to catch up on
it. It's fine. I don't watch it, but
I'm not trying to watch that.
I know enough about it.
But I'm sick of getting all these texts to my phone, and I'm like, gosh, what does this mean?
It's FOMO.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's fear of missing out.
That was literally me yesterday when I told my friend who watches Outer Banks. And he was like, oh, did you recognize him? I'm like, bro, I don't know who those people were. I was like, Leroy, the front desk guy, I told him, I said, came in and told me Outer Banks was here. So I'm just telling you. I said, I don't know which ones were here. I don't know any of that. I just saw a whole bunch of them walk back. Personally, I thought it was a band. And Nick from 100.3 The Bull was meeting with them.
Those people were from Outer Banks?
Yeah, the television show on Netflix.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, but that was
But
dumb.
I thought it was a band.
Same here. Same here until Leroy told me.
Oh, well.
Anything. Suffice it to say that now, in a way that I never anticipated being, I'm fighting the possibility of having to watch Love is Blind.
Watch this.
These are my confessions.
I can't tell you why, but I am irrationally becoming a huge fan of Indiana football.
Hey, cursing Hive.
I really am. I guess it's the underdog thing. You know, everybody always cheers for the underdog. Adam Spillane, you know, I want him to be happy. See, I'm not intimidated. Anyway, I want him to be happy and experience something that Indiana football has never experienced. Like, I've just, like, become fascinated by, like, a coach that came in 1 year and they're 7-0. And, I mean, look at Nick Saban is there. You know, game day is going to be there. The fans are going to be drinking all the beer. Hopefully they have more this week. They ran out of beer last week at Indiana. But, yeah, I mean, I think my backup team, we always have a backup team, right? I think my backup team this year is Indiana.
I got a lot of backup teams, to be completely honest. not quite backup teams, but I just, you know, teams that you find interesting. Indiana exists in one of those, and I say that as somebody who still has not watched very much Indiana football. I might actually watch some Indiana football.
Here soon.
I mean, and I have a lot of respect for what Kurt Cignetti did at JMU. Mm-hmm. They come up and they're immediately, like, viable on the FBS level. That is not easy to do. Also, what that could possibly mean for, like, the grander scheme of, like, what college football
maybe
is.
There's a little chaos that's influencing it. Yeah,
right. Not even chaos, but, like, is this in this new era of college football where you have a guy take a job and he takes a group of players from his previous school because the transfer portal is so allowing.
Yeah,
and so you can jumpstart this. Does that mean that the concept of year zero, right, when you're building a program where you're like, this year doesn't really count towards what we're doing, we're just trying to get things in order, is that now out of the window where expectation is going to be that you get to a place and you should be able to get things popping pretty early compared to, like, Willie Fritz in Houston, where this is very much a year zero.
It looks like a rebuild. It looks like a rebuild.
So, yeah, that's a thought process for me. Yeah. And that's another thing that makes Kurt Cignetti's Indiana, 9-win or 10-win Indiana, all that more interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Watch this.
All right, so I have a tee time to golf.
Atta baby.
On Saturday, literally tomorrow. Except I also need to get this hair done, and there is no opportunity for me to get this hair done for another week and a half.
You got to play golf. You can make
do. Okay, so you knew what the question was about to be, right?
You, like, can make do.
I can't cancel the tee time, can I?
No, like, don't do that. Are you playing with buddies?
I'm playing with, playing with a buddy.
Yeah. Where?
Missouri City, I believe. Most City.
Go.
Just go?
Go.
It's nice out, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great weather.
But I'm going to keep looking like a homeless person.
That's okay.
Like a week and a half.
Look homeless. Nobody cares.
How do you look homeless?
Yeah.
It gets a little rugged, the hair. Like, I know I try and keep it tame, but it gets a little rugged with it being in this kind of, like, afro state of
sorts. I think it's a good look.
I felt that. I'm ready to cut mine off.
Yeah.
The girlfriend wants me to keep it, but honestly, we're going to a wedding in New Orleans next week. Probably my next cut after, I'm just going to surprise her. It's going
to
be gone.
Oh, that's not the way to do that.
That's the way. That's the way it's trending with my hair.
Don't do that. Talk to her about that.
Mm-hmm.
You will mess around and you will mess up a good thing if all of a sudden you take a big chop and she's like, oh, no. No.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe 2025 we'll try again.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I believe the term is horizontal tees. Tease something that's going to happen the next day at that time on your radio show.
Oh, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
I
believe it's called, like, a vertical tease is tease something up later in the show.
Huh.
Horizontal tease is something.
Yeah, that spatially doesn't sit with my brain, but I'll allow you to
like
cook.
Like at this point on Monday, I'm teasing the fact that, okay, let me go back.
What?
I'm not a prank kind of guy. I think most pranks are kind of silly and sometimes cruel, but I'm working on a prank on my wife that might end in our nearly 4-decade marriage.
So
check in on Monday.
How about you don't do that?
I generally don't like pranks. I think they're kind of dumb and mean.
And yet
I'm gonna do one. I'm working on one. So that is a maybe bad radio, but just be sure to be here Monday at 12:33, and I will give you the follow-up, because this is a bad one. I kind of gave you a hint about it before the show.
No, I know, and I still don't understand why you are so so excited.
It was
to
just
do
on
it.
A tee. It was just, it's too easy to
live life on the edge. I don't blame you.
And we've been married a long time anyway.
You can't sleep on my couch. Lopez, you can't sleep on my couch. I
will
to be abundantly
sleep.
Clear right
I'll
now.
I'll be over there in the Seth Payne suite up the hall, maybe.
Okay. Right. Well, more power to you there.
So be sure to check in because this could get ugly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that. Watch this. 713 says she's not here for the hair. Oh, you'd be surprised, buddy. You'd be surprised. I've seen many a dude who's like, hey, man, you know, I'm going to shave my beard. And then the lady is like, oh, no.
No, you're not.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Dang, you made me forget what my confession was. It's good. I can't believe you're going
to
do that.
I have to. It's already in the works.
Confession. Mm-hmm. All it took was 2 weeks for me to absolutely miss getting into these tailgates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, heck yeah. I'm going out there with you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, Sunday.
Yeah. So I cannot wait to be out here tailgating again with the Texans fans. It's going to be another level this week, right?
Yeah, it's Blue Lot. If you're in the Blue Lot, look for us. We'll be carting around out there, checking out a lot of the tailgates. Look for us. Blue Lot is one of the next level. I would rank them blue, green, yellow. Probably.
Okay.
Personal preference.
This actually reminds me of what one of my confessions was, so I'll get this off real quick before we move this around. I have a confession to say that I fully want to let anybody and everybody know. If you see me out in public, say what's up.
Yeah.
I was at the game on Wednesday, obviously at the Rockets, and B-Scott was like, yo, somebody, you know, recognized me, said what's up, and I was like, I think about how many times I've heard from folks just generally that are like, oh, yeah, I saw you. I didn't want to bother you.
Yeah, I know.
No, come say what's up, man. That
Don't
stuff,
be bashful.
That stuff is so fun, man.
Don't be bashful.
And that also tied into, like, I'm super excited to be out at tailgating because when we're tailgating, some people are like, yo, man, listen to the show, enjoy it. And, like, that is so rewarding, especially getting to meet some of the folks that we get to talk to all the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, if you see me, say what's up. Dab me up.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I just wanted to get that off the chest.
Yeah. No, and they absolutely do that because, first of all, you're a really nice guy and they would enjoy the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's also, I just want to see who we talking to. 409, Reg, look homeless, go direct traffic. Lopez will love you for that. True. That's what we call a throwback.
That's a fun event. A
callback, rather.
And people are saying that call me John Debo Lopez, I guess because I was being perceived as rude.
Mm-hmm. You being mean. Hey, yeah, again, this in ranking your confession today, your confessions, I don't like what you're doing here. Like, you're putting together a bad, like, being...
I'm not, though.
Being standoffish.
I am not. That's the whole point.
Pranking your wife. Like, I don't know, what are you doing here?
Just being honest. It's called confessions.
Don't do that.
No, not at all.
Shout out to Julie, says she's in the Plausible Deniability Hall of Fame. Oh.
All right.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm. I won't ask what that refers to because...
It's kind of true.
That takes away
It could be defended.
Right. Like, it takes away the plausible deniability if I say what that's about. But those are your lunchtime confessions here in the loop on a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready for the college football weekend, a pretty good one in my estimation. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm just excited for the rivalry game that the school that I like is going into. But we gear up for Lopez's college football headline of the weekend. We'll do that next. I think this texter is watching ESPN as we also have ESPN on in the studio. When they send in from the 713, I swear Kyle Schwarber looks like Jose Altuve with a beard and more personality.
He's not wrong.
Agree or disagree? You agree?
Yeah, he looks like Altuve.
I can't speak to the personality. I'm not actually listening.
Well, Altuve has a good personality. Just kind of...
He hides it.
He's not really out there a lot.
Himself.
Yeah, not really out there
it's
a lot.
It's not for all of us. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Lopez, I'm Reginald Datatula, and then we got Byron Matthews in for Figgy Fig. Fig did put a... He put a mixtape in the can for us.
Nice.
So I will do my best to keep you covered there. But... We got college football coming up. Excited for that. So if you could, Lopez, consummate writer man, newspaper writer man, what is the headline for this weekend in college football?
The sappy college football slogan of the week is, who would have thunk it Saturday?
Huh.
Who would have thunk it Saturday?
This is centered around the game that involves your team, isn't it?
Not just. It's going to fit all the games in a sense.
If
but
you
let,
say so.
let's start right there. Believe it or not, because I'm not sure I do. If the Aggies win on Saturday night at Kyle Field, they're going to be the only undefeated team in the entire SEC.
Conversely, LSU, if they win, they'll they'll be atop the SEC as well.
Undefeated in conference. That's wild. It's truly going to be one of those games, sort of irresistible force versus immovable object, because that starting LSU offensive line is a bear, like an absolute bear. They've allowed, the starting offensive line now, has allowed exactly zero sacks this year.
Oh, is that good?
I think that's pretty good.
Okay.
All year, zero sacks. The Aggies, on the other hand, can bring the pressure.
They sure can.
Yeah.
Elko defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, and both quarterbacks also are kind of prone to, boy, what a game he had, or yuck. Well, yeah, both of them.
Well, I feel like Nussmeier has absolutely veered away from that into some places where he is a really fun quarterback seeing develop. And, mm-hmm. and when you say, wouldn't have thought, or
who would have thunk it Saturday?
Who would have thunk it is, I want to get the verbiage correct.
Mm-hmm.
Nussmeier absolutely feels like a who would have thunk it, because I got into a place where I was like, yeah, that dude's not all that good. And yet here he is, over 2,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Prone to some interceptions, yeah.
Like, he will throw up a few interceptions, but, I mean, been really good with this LSU offense. So, no, I thought this was a – I think this is going to be a really fun game. Obviously, it has stakes in the most, most interesting league in college football by most people's metrics. So this should be a fun one to watch. Actually get some eyes on Elko's team and see if he can, you know, in his first year, really get to places that it felt like Jimbo Fisher, you know.
No, he was talking about it.
His ability
this
to get
week.
There.
Yeah, he was saying like, look, you know, we want to win, but we're kind of ahead of the curve. So they're going to try to keep that going. All right, who would have thunk it Saturday as it pertains to Notre Dame's biggest game thus far against
the Naval Academy?
Navy. Who would have thunk that?
I have no idea. Like, this is one of those, if Navy could get past this, right? The Notre Dame is the if you can get past for both of the most prominent service academies that we will be barreling towards. Just a fascinating end of the season for both of those teams. But yeah, it's not just the who would have thunk it that they're getting these wins. It's the way that they're doing it. They're both prominent.
I mean, they're offensively. They're dominating people.
Yeah, and that they can also, like, they can toss the rock when they need to within the context of those triple op offenses that they run. They execute them to a T. Like, this is, it feels like it, very periodically, maybe like every decade or so, you get one of these programs that pops up like this. It's almost like, you know, when the cicadas line up, the 7 year versus the whatever, I don't remember what the distinction is, but they line up and then you get that super summer where everybody is in hell. Like, this feels like the super summer where everybody's in hell, except it's Army, Navy, and Air Force all being real good at football.
Yeah, and kind of cool. But who would have thunk that? How about who would have thunk this? Vanderbilt is a scary opponent for Texas.
You say so.
I think this
one I'm not buying.
I think the Longhorns are clearly going to bounce back, clearly have the superior talent. But, I mean, let's be honest. Kentucky gave Georgia all it could handle and probably should have beat them. And Vanderbilt beat Kentucky. Alabama.
Transitive wins. Yeah.
Well, but hold on.
Transitive wins.
This one is not. They beat Alabama. Like, they beat Alabama at home. And we know, in terms of, like, sheer talent, forget how they're doing, you know, and what the coach is doing, Kalen DeBoer, but they beat a supremely talented team at home. So I would bet on the Longhorns, but Vanderbilt's a scary opponent.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's solid defense, but I don't know that they have quite the same beef as Georgia was able to bring to this that made that such a tough game for Texas. I hear you on that. Plus, offensively, I don't know that... Or I guess they offensively have enough there. I don't know that defensively Vanderbilt is really going to hit them in that same way. But, hey, it'll be interesting to see. I think that's going to be like a road home game for Texas.
Could be.
They're
picking up some fans in Vandy.
Yeah, all right.
Nashville's one of those front-running type cities.
Yeah, but I mean, even still, like, it's only so much compared to one of the biggest programs in the nation in Texas with all the money that exists there. Plus, I think Stephen Godfrey made this point, and he's not wrong about this. When you talk about cultural hubs, Nashville, for our white brethren, is absolutely one of those places that is, and maybe I should say sisterin, because Nashville seems like it always has a damn bachelorette party going.
Yeah.
Like, the opportunity to go to Nashville for a Texas game, I think, is more appealing than I had realized.
Oh, it's a great city.
And so I think that they're going to sell that thing out in a big way.
Yeah, it'll be a sellout, but you know, we'll see. But I think Texas is going to win, but Vanderbilt's a little bit scary for them.
You could build your weekend around a trip to Nashville and see Texas go on Vanderbilt. They're going to be deep in there.
I did that with the Aggies 2 years ago. Went and saw them there against Vanderbilt. Anyway, who would have thunk this? Alabama is out of the college football playoff, and they're playing a Missouri team with the starting backup quarterback starting. If they lose to Missouri, which is a ranked team, three losses before you get to November, how ugly is it going to be in Tuscaloosa?
This feels like a who would have thunk it in the other way, right? Like Alabama is one of those programs that it's Alabama. We have general expectations. Plus, when they go and play really well against Georgia and win, I'm like, oh, I guess really well. They play really well for a half against Georgia and then ultimately hold them off and win. The expectations went high again. But this is a program, and I don't know how much juice they got all the way around.
Man, three losses in by October?
And then you conversely look at Missouri, which is they had the Brady Cook, and you know he was a highly regarded quarterback. And then they have Luther Burden over there, who is a really good wide receiver. They just can't make that. They can't make offense shake.
No,
unless they do very particular things there. And so you get a Missouri program that you thought was, hey man, it looks like they have found themselves a nice little zone to exist in.
Yeah,
and they haven't been able to do that. And then you have Kalen DeBoer with Alabama with all the expectations there. It's a who would have thunk it in that? Ooh, I didn't think you would be looking like this. So yeah, that'll be.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's an anxiety bowl is too much, but that's one of those ones where whoever loses, I don't know.
There's a little anxiousness. All right, who would have thunk this? The best college football game in terms of stakes and level of play might be tonight. UNLV, Boise State.
Hey!
I'm telling you.
Gentee watch back on.
Ashton Gentee, obviously he's worth the price of admission by himself, but the Rebels, they haven't missed a beat. Yeah, ever since their starting quarterback said, "I'm out. I want more NIL."
Yeah,
or you didn't keep your promise. Or
I mean, the fact of the matter was he was not the better quarterback on that roster, right? I don't think that takes away from the idea that hey, the nebulous nature of NIL and the fact that there's no enforceability behind this is a problem in the NCAA. But with UNLV in particular, yeah, good riddance, dog. Like they have been doing some really good things. I don't think that they have enough to match up with what Boise State provides because UNLV.
I don't know. I think it's going to be good.
It should be good, but I think UNLV is a little bit more high flying than the like the run and the ability to kind of manage the possessions and the time that you have with Boise State, where they could just run it down your throat.
Yeah,
like I think that matches up better with UNLV than UNLV's play style.
What they do,
Boise.
The high flying stuff.
But yeah, this is the opportunity to really look at which one of these teams probably could get that playoff
legitimate. That's
Group of Five champion playoff berth.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's a legitimate, possible college football berth on the line. And then finally, who would have thunk this? I alluded to this during confessions, but the center of the college football universe right now is in Bloomington, Indiana. Washington's coming into town. They're going to be a pretty good test, maybe a big test. And the Hoosiers' starting quarterback, Curtis Rourke, is out with a hand injury, so we'll see how that plays out. But Indiana, they've passed every test so far. I will say this, Washington is going to the Midwest to play an 11 a.m. game. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff, so I really feel like...
9 a.m. start.
Yeah.
Body clock game.
Mm-hmm.
That could be really interesting there. We barrel towards 10-win Indiana.
Yeah.
That is what we're looking at. What a time to be alive. All right. Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk it Saturday?
Saturday. I almost called it Sunday. In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Excited for the college football weekend. Sad to see Grayson McCall. Did you see that Grayson McCall retired from college football? Six seasons doing this, but he had done some really good things at Coastal Carolina for the Chanticleers. He transferred. Just too many head injuries, he said, so he's looking to go into coaching. That was a really sad thing to see for one of those kind of Group of Five legends in Grayson McCall. All right, coming up next, you know what time it is. We are getting ready for Texans, Colts, and on a 1 p.m. on a Friday, we get into Texans win because, Texans lose because. What are the factors that will determine whether or not the Texans come out with a win or a loss on Sunday? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.